Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me again today. We are looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and yesterday I spoke to you about the bookends and how Ephesians begins with in the first two verses with the key word of faithful, and the last two verses of Ephesians, in Ephesians 6, the key word there is sincerity. Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ and sincerity. And we pointed out how this book is really a book, it's meat, it's for the full grown. We learned that the Corinthian church could not accept the teaching of Ephesians because of their carnality. They were so occupied with men and their abilities, and very much like today, we have a very similar situation like Corinth today, where people are enamored of, they have the star mentality. They go to church to sit in a pew, like you do at a movie theater, and watch a star perform. And the star does all the work, you know, and he's called today a pastor or reverend. And by the way, I just want you to think about this, and I want you to think about it long and hard. There is no such thing in the Bible anywhere of a local pastor, a pastor of a church. It doesn't exist. In a local church, you can have elders and deacons, and you can have multiple teacher pastors in a local church, where a local gathering of believers. This whole separated clergy is a made-up thing, and it really has tended to distort the truth, because people always look to the star to do all the studying for them, and they think he's something special because he's got an education from a humanistic Christian college. But friends, that in the every believer is, no pastor living today has an advantage over the common man in knowing God and knowing His Word. Education in a modern school system does not help somebody understand God better. Keep that in mind. A person who just has a copy of the Scriptures and reads them every day and communes with God and on his knees in prayer and asks God to teach him has a better advantage than any college student. Really, Christian college is a disadvantage to anyone who undertakes to study God. And that is a fact. Now, that doesn't mean we can't benefit from many authors of the past, but you have the privilege and the responsibility of testing them by what is written. And that's good. That doesn't mean just because somebody went to school, I'm saying that they don't get it right sometimes. There have been some very good people who go on to school and have learned, and it has been helpful to them. But in the main, it has really handicapped believers. Now, I want to point out in Ephesians chapter, we point out the bookends, that in Ephesians, we have in Ephesians two sets of seven threes. And let me explain that. In Ephesians 1 through 3, we have the great teaching concerning the position of the body of Christ. And in chapters 4 through 6, we have the practice of the members of that body. In other words, he teaches us first what our role is, what our position is. And then in chapters 4 through 6, we live it out, as it were. We walk. We're told to walk worthily of our calling. In Ephesians 4, verse 1. And you'll find that in Ephesians 1 through 3, we have seven sets of three. And in the last three chapters of Ephesians, we have seven sets of three. But what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to list them here. And this is not going to be so exciting. This is study time, friends. This is study. Write these things down. You're listening to a recording. You have the ability to go grab hit pause, and go grab a piece of paper and a pen and write these down. And I'm going to give them to you. And by the way, speaking of getting things from others, it's funny, this what I'm about to give you, I actually learned from somebody else. It was a man who I thank God for. His name was Charles Welch. And many years ago, I read his commentary in Ephesians, and he pointed out these sevens. And I think what happened is I had read this many years ago. It was probably, 2001 or so when I read it. And I haven't read it since. And just recently, as a matter of fact, in 2010 here, I started seeing this pattern of threes. And I had forgotten that I read Charles Welch, but I'm sure what I read a long time ago came back to me. It was helpful. It was in my memory bank. And the truth became my own. And this is what happens, friends, when we read others and we study, and we read good authors. You know, you read it, you take note, and sometimes God will make it real to you later. And so what I'm giving you is not original. I actually think my outline is a little bit different than Welch's, but you'll see the pattern in a moment. In chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, we have the threefold blessings. And that's going to be one section. And then the second one is chapter 1, 15 through 2, 7. Chapter 2, verse 7, we have a threefold exaltation of the members of the body. And in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we have threefold works. In chapter 2, verse 11 through 18, we have a threefold peace. In chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, we have a threefold building. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, we have a threefold unity. In chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, we have a threefold prayer. Now, those are seven sets of three. And we're going to go through these, and this is going to be how we're going to go through Ephesians here. Remember, I told you it's not going to be exhaustive. It's going to be an overview based off of this outline here. And now we come to the second half, chapters 4 through 6, the practical part where we put into practice these great teachings. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, we have a threefold unity. In chapter 4, verse 7 through 16, we have a threefold measure. Pardon me. In chapter 4, verse 17 to 32, we have threefold clothing. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, we have a threefold walk. In chapter 5, 21 through 6, verse 9, we have threefold relationships. In chapter 6, verse 10 through 16, we have a threefold stand. In chapter 6, verse 17 to 22, we have a threefold prayer. Now remember the bookends. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 is on the left side, and then you have seven volumes. Chapters 1 through 3, those seven sections there. And then we have another seven volumes in chapters 4 through 6, and the other bookend on the other end. So faithfulness on one end, sincerity on the other, and two sets of sevens, where we have in each one a threefold something or another. And we're going to get to that. And go back and actually write these down, and maybe even chart it out. Draw your bookends, and then draw out those seven volumes we're about to study. So let's look at Ephesians like that, with the two bookends and 14 volumes in that, between those bookends. And each volume discusses three great items. And that's how we're going to approach our study to Ephesians. It's going to be very much an overview. But I think it's going to be a helpful guide. Now, one other thing I wanted to point out, and I wrote this in the margin of my scriptures. In the first three chapters, all the superlative words. In chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says we have all spiritual blessings, not just some, but all of them. And chapter 1, verse 8, he's made known to us in the mystery of his will in all wisdom and prudence, all of it. In chapter 1, verse 7, we have the riches of his grace. And chapter 1, verse 18, it says that the riches of his glory, notice the term riches. In verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Chapter 2, verse 4, God is rich in mercy. Chapter 2, verse 4, his great love, not just love, great love. Chapter 2, he's going to demonstrate his exceeding riches in us. In chapter 3, verse 8, it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. In chapter 3, verse 10, it's the manifold wisdom of God. In chapter 3, verse 19, it's the love of God which passes knowledge. And chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it's length, breadth, depth, and height. Those are four dimensions. And in chapter 3, verse 20, to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. Notice all those words. And so in Ephesians, we're not just getting a meal. We're getting a full course. What is it? A 10 course, 18 course, whatever that is. We're not just getting a snack here. We're getting a full-blown meal. We're being stuffed to the full. And God is absolutely pouring out in his letter to the Ephesians. The storehouses of grace have been opened. And we, members of the body of Christ, are the objects of this outpouring. And what a blessed thing it is. Because of Christ, we have these blessings, not because of us, it's because of Christ. Not because we were smarter or wiser than anyone else, or we made a wiser decision. We are objects of these wonderful blessings because of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You and I are passive. God does all the blessing here, and we do nothing but be blessed. And when we study these first three chapters, we're going to see that these great blessings should find a correspondence in our walk. Ephesians 1 through 3 is our blessings. Ephesians 4 through 6 is our walk. And if we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians 1, people should be able to come into our homes and our workplaces and see how those who are blessed by God in such a way behave. They should see men and women who are conscientious about their work, that work is a glorious thing because it's done to God's glory. They should see our homes run properly. And oh, God, help us to be better at everything, better fathers, better husbands, better citizens, better friends, better students, better, may all the activities we occupy, in each one of them, may we excel to God's glory, as we're going to see in Ephesians 4 through 6. Well, I hope this is enough. Get out the pen and paper, write out this outline, and maybe even memorize it. And let's go through this letter together. Again, we're not going to exhaust it, but we're going to be in an overview function. And I trust that this will be a great help to you as well as to me. And again, thank you for joining me today, and we will talk to you tomorrow.